Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is round 12 all wrapped up. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Josh, you got a highlight of the week past?
Well, it wasn't the Formula One for once. The race sucked, believe it. Oh, except for the fact that they had a celebrity doing the flag waving.
Oh, Tony Stark?
No, it was...
not interested then.
Winnie something.
Someone who's off, like, America's Next Top Model.
Yeah, she's, right, yeah. She's got, like, a... some shit. The skin condition where she's got a melanin deficiency around her mouth and elbows and shit. Like
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, like that sort of thing. And that makes her a unique look or whatever. Anyway, the race was pretty boring. And so for whatever reason, she got told or whatever, just waved the flag early. And she did, 2 laps early.
Good on her.
Problem is, it cost Dan Ricciardo a couple of $100,000 in bonus because he put the fastest lap in that last lap that didn't count.
Oh, that's unlucky.
Yeah, he found out live on air too. He was gutted.
And even worse than that, his teammate actually had the fastest.
That's the face someone who just found out he didn't win 150K.
Yeah, it sucked. But no, my highlight of the week was the UFC 255. 225. Whatever, we'll get 255 eventually on the weekend. It had its ups and downs, but in the lead up, for whatever reason, they had CM Punk fighting Mark Jackson, I think it was.
We know why. Like, he's a name, and he equals pay-per-view buys, without a doubt. But I watched it too.
It was embarrassing.
It was so embarrassing that Jackson looked like he looked up at the cage a couple of times and was like, really? I've got to take this to 3 rounds?
Yeah. I know that Rogan, I thought, did a great job calling that fight because you could tell when he'd had enough.
Yeah.
But, hey, CM Punk got a takedown.
He did. He did. Yeah.
But it's not often you come out of a fight and both... I think we've seen that there was a retirement fight for them both.
Yeah. And you said after round one, they should have sat in the stool and went, that's it.
That's it.
I would have supported a WWE-style chair shot. Like, someone jumps the fence, hits him with a chair, and, you know... The Undertaker comes out of the ground or something. That would have been fine.
And you say, you know, why was he there? But did you hear the crowd in the first minute of that fight?
Yeah.
That is the loudest US-based crowd I've ever heard at a UFC fight.
Yep.
Clearly, if CM Punk wanted to, he'd go make money anywhere. But he's just... I think we mentioned last week. He's an arsehole. Like, and knows it, and everyone else knows it, but... God damn, he's good at what he does.
He makes money.
Not fighting, though.
No, not fighting for real. I think anyone who's willing to get in the cage deserves some respect.
Fuck yeah, you got
to
respect anyone. But that's, like that.
This is the smallest amount of respect I can give someone for doing it.
He did it. He did it. Yeah. He could probably beat me in a fight. I'm pretty confident he could.
I wouldn't fucking do it.
We'll leave it at that. Exactly, yeah.
Well, you actually have a legit, you know... pedigree of some martial arts training, which is probably more than him, I'm going to be honest.
Oh, he's a blue belt.
I think he is a blue belt.
I mean, you guys are purple, pushing on brown. So.
Also, I think I've got about 30 kilo on him.
But I'm going to make a kick. I reckon both of you would fuck him up.
Well, it's under jiu-jitsu rules, I reckon I'm a chance.
Yeah.
Combat jiu-jitsu rules.
But we know he can't throw a punch. I haven't thrown one, and I know I can't throw a punch.
If he runs away from me, I'm fucked because I ain't chasing him.
small octagon.
Yeah, I'll be doing the Emmanuel Yarbrough shit, just standing in the corners like, come get me, motherfucker.
Scrap the basketball court, Rogan.
But no, the highlight, though, that made that card worth it right off the bat, Whitaker Romero.
Would it be right off the bat? It was the last fucking fight.
Well, it was worth the cost.
It was a great fight.
It was an all-time great. I was watching it, and the first 3 rounds, I'm like, Yoel's just... tanking. He's just absorbing punishment.
First two.
And I thought, you know, Whitaker's got him here. He's just that. The second the thought entered my head, Yoel rocked him. Yeah. I'm like, fuck, it's over. He's, you know, tanked up. He's all of a sudden, he's just holding on. and Romero is trying to finish him. But you see, Romero is still a little bit gassed.
Yeah, well, of course
he was. Even in round three.
I mean, in the first two rounds, you could see he's, I am not going to get tired.
Yeah.
That was what it was. Especially in the first round. I think he threw like six punches or something like that.
If that. Yeah, that could have been by accident.
If that.
But two spinning ones.
And we were talking during, when it came to the end, it could have been a decision for either of them or a draw.
Yeah.
Any result was a legitimate result.
Yeah.
I think just before it too, I called it being a split decision. I said, this is going to be a split because it's so close.
Yeah, it has to be.
What actually would happen if it was, 48-47 Romero, 48-47 Whittaker, and draw?
Then it's a draw.
Yeah.
A full draw.
A minority draw, they call it, I think.
Let's go with that.
It's a draw. It's happened
definitely
before.
A draw, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely happened before. To
me, the belt can't change hands anyway.
No.
He blew weight.
It felt to me, remember Machida versus Rampage Jackson years ago?
Yeah.
Where
Machida
did more damage, but you go, no, but Rampage won two rounds versus one. So that's how I felt in this fight.
Yeah.
That Romero definitely did more damage.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
Whittaker won three rounds.
And I think the final round too, some people are calling it a 10-8, and I can see the argument, but also Romero had the better moments.
Definitely.
But a majority of that final round was just two gassed guys laying on each other. I don't think you can give a 10-8 when you haven't... He didn't dominate the round. He wasn't being dominated, but the ball was in dispute, so to say, for a majority of that round.
And in a lot of respects, Romero won the fight everywhere but on the cards. Yeah. And it was legit, yeah.
Yeah, but mind you, the Whittaker's head kick, geez, that should have knocked Romero out.
I saw his interviews today. He said he was nothing. He did stone.
Yeah.
He got a little jelly legs and that was it.
But I think that's
nice head kick.
Yeah, they both just had such chins. I have genuinely no idea how Whittaker was able to just last that long with a broken thumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Especially just, with those fucking bombs coming at him.
Yeah, he just popped the jab and his jab was strong. Like when he welled up Romero's eye.
Yeah,
that popped.
Was that early in the second or first? It was early on.
Yeah,
I think it was the second.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the best fight of this year that I've seen.
Yeah, it was a great fight. It was.
Hmm.
Brenton, you got a highlight from the week past?
Yeah, nice and quick, mine will be. I'm a big fan of rivalries and drama, and I found out, everyone found out, that in MotoGP, Jorge Lorenzo is going to partner up with Marc Marquez.
Okay.
So expect fireworks, because these guys, really don't like each other too much. Both Spanish, and obviously Marquez being the young gun that came up and sort of took Jorge's throne, has been killing ever since, and is a better racer, so Jorge's a bit dirty about it. Going to be on the same team, which would be interesting to see how those politics play out, and it could be even more abrasive than when Stoner and Valentino Rossi were racing. Different teams, but they were still racing and very competitive, so yeah, might actually look forward to MotoGP next year.
Well, Jorge's not afraid to be a bit of a cunt.
This is true, yes. I mean, any pilot or motorcycle rider or driver, yes, in general.
Yeah, they tend to be willing to throw their language out in front of it. Like, what was Stoner's thing? Confusing ability, ambition with ability?
Yeah.
To Rossi?
Yeah. And he tried to overtake him when I was in Laguna Seca. Yeah.
You know, let's be honest, Rossi, he's one of the more accomplished riders out there.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was my...
It does sound a bit like jockeys fighting, though, at times, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
All right, let's get into the footy then. It was an interesting round, the first of the proper bye rounds. So we started off with Friday night, the Tigers going over to Adelaide Oval to face the Power. Good story, this one, because I'd picked the Tigers, found out Dusty wasn't playing, and I thought, I've got to change my tip.
You did?
Like 10 minutes before the game.
Yeah.
And I did change my tip, but I forgot that I changed it. So like, all Saturday, I'm like, why didn't I do it? Why didn't I do it? And I logged in to check and went, I did do it. Good job. And that put me equal leader with the office tipping again.
Yeah, shit.
But it was a decent game.
It was good. I thought Port Adelaide obviously were the better team on the day. They just managed to, especially that period of, was it end of the second quarter. Third? Where,
end of the second quarter.
Whenever they got into their forward 50, they just did not look like it getting out of there without a goal being scored. Yeah. And that was the only way. Yeah. And they really sort of put that forward line pressure onto Richmond, which they haven't seen done in a long time.
It was all... Felt like snaps from 20, 30 out, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And look, Port only kicked 10 goals for the night. And they kicked 5 goals in the space of 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's half their goals for the entire night was in that period.
And they had like a little bit more class with the ball as well. Like Robbie Gray played one of his better games, I thought.
Yeah.
Wingard obviously had a more consistent impact over a match, especially with some concerns on his health over the last season.
Health and form. But
yeah.
Robbie Gray, that is the standard for him. That's what he does week in, week out. I sometimes you go, what would he be like in a legitimate top four contender side?
Yeah.
Could be anything. Yeah. He's that skillful.
What are you talking about? These guys are minor premiers.
Yeah.
Actually, Richmond fucked me up twice here because I thought, no, they can still do this. They can still win. And, you know, surely enough they go down. And it also makes it that much harder to get Ollie Wines out of the team at the end of the season. He's a very level-headed player. And I say that because he's got a head like a box.
He's a box head, yeah.
But
box of wine, so they call him.
I can see why.
The cask.
But he still hasn't decided what he's doing yet. And
ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Port looking all right. Like the worst part is they show just enough. They show what they can do.
Well, they were disgusting the week before. So yeah. They needed to show something. And I thought they did. I thought guys like Edwards, who had maybe a career-best game last week, you could see the endeavour was there from them.
Yeah.
But he'd dodge one tackle and then he'd run into Charlie Dixon.
Yeah.
Like, oh, fuck. It was that night for him where he tried to do everything.
And it was just the pressure that they put on Richmond, to not allowing them to get any sort of space, any clean use of the ball. And they did it very well over the whole course of the match. Because you sort of expect Tigers come back in the
They had their chances.
Yeah. But they managed to, sort of halt whatever momentum they could build and, play the game on their terms.
Because Castagna took a screamer in the goal square?
Yeah, I think it was
Castagna. Or just off the goal square?
Yeah. Paddy Ryder was pretty dominant too, I thought. Well, in the middle. Not around the ground, he was, neither here nor there.
I'd say that's right, yeah. I thought his ruck work was good, but he's still a little bit slow to get around the ground. Obviously, I think they said he only trains once a week.
I believe it.
Because his leg keeps flaring up and all that shit.
Yeah.
But when he's got guys tap it down to like Wines, Powell Pepper, Rockliffe, both Greys, fuck it. You've got a choice of how you want your pizza there.
Well, it's like somebody mentioned with Rockliffe. He got a lot of touches, but I don't think he was that influential. But he's, 150, 160 games into his career?
Yeah.
It's his first Friday night game.
Really?
Well, because the Lions don't play them.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because it's NRL up there.
Yeah.
So it's his first Friday night game of his career. I thought that was interesting, that laid into his into his run.
Just the other day, it was someone from one of the gambling groups talking about pokies in football and whatnot.
Right.
Saying, hey, we've got to get them out of it. And the line they actually used was, we need to get the AFL out of pokies because we're not the NRL, which needs the RSLs to feed them. We're better than that. I'm like, oh, fucking shots fired.
Okay.
I mean, it's accurate. Most of, I think, the Penrith
Panthers.
Panthers, they make a majority of their cash out of pokies.
They're a pokey club with a football side.
Yeah.
Great housey there as well.
I thought it was funny just to say we're much better than those NRL fuckheads.
but I do feel a bit weird with all the footy clubs are coming up for new ways of revenue, and pokies is obviously in this. Oh, we've got to wean off it. So they're running health and fitness clubs, and I think Adelaide bought a baseball team. And
I'm not against that. Bought, I think that's smart.
But now they're businesses that have a football side.
Yeah,
it's just weird. I football should be paying for itself. I know that. They're doing extra and shit, but it just seems so weird to me.
No, I can see it moving to be more a sporting brand with different teams. Like, we're already going to have the esports.
Yeah, teams are fine, but health clubs?
Yeah. How about make good merch that's not fucking $150 to $200 per piece? Like, the merch game sucks.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, just jump on Facebook. There's ads left, right, and centre for fake merch with all the logos and everything.
Yeah.
I saw a leather jacket there the other day that looked like the Kill Bill thing for Richmond.
Yeah.
Nice. The Kill Bill thing, like, obviously inspired by the Bruce Lee. Sort of Richmond colours to begin with, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think this is what they're doing.
I mean, make it sleeveless with the 1% patch on it.
Yeah.
Richmond MC.
Have you seen the 1% yet?
No.
Oh, it's on. It's good.
Oh, right.
It's like Sons of Anarchy, but Australian bikies and real.
All right, cool.
On to the next game, which was North heading down the highway to Geelong. 6-goal win to Geelong. It's interesting game, though, I thought.
To me, this was lost in the coach's box.
Really?
Well, just the base structures were... Goldstein was winning most of the taps, but a lot of them were going to Gary Ablett.
Well, he's not a bad player, let's be honest.
But yeah, but the thing is, if you control the taps the way Goldstein did, and Goldstein's having a decent season compared to last season.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You should be able to dictate that your player gets the ball. That's a successful hit out.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you may as well just let the other bloke hit it. For whatever reason, Ablett sharked, knew where the tap was going better. And a lot of that's, well, all of it's Ablett's skill. He can read the way the ball is in flight.
Apparently it's the coach's box.
Well, it's also putting him in there. Jacobs, I thought, gave Selwood a toweling in the first half until they realised that wasn't going to win them the game. So take him off Selwood and try and play him a bit loose. But, you know, things didn't go well, I think it's fair to say. And one thing I did notice too, which is weird, the ball bounces differently down there.
You reckon?
Well, seemed to, like at the G and Eddie had, it seems to bounce, you know, fairly honestly. You get that third bounce and it pops up?
Yeah.
At Geelong, it was the fourth.
Okay.
That was just something I noticed. And then once I noticed it once, I couldn't unnotice it.
Okay. I honestly didn't see it, but that is one of those things. If you notice it and it sticks out like a sore thumb from now on in.
Yeah, cancer. They've conquered gravity. Conquered gravity now. Took a meeting between Brad Scott and Gil.
They've been dumping the leftover oil from the Ford factory there.
Just shave off a little bit of that gravity down in Geelong.
I thought Geelong obviously played really, really well.
They did.
It wasn't through lack of skill or effort that, lack of endeavour that North lost. It was, they were beaten by a better side. That's just what happened.
Oh, 100%. And the other thing too, though, with the coach's box aspect of it, the way they set up, they had North did against Sydney. They played their flankers at the wing, the wings and the back flank, and then crashed the pack. And that meant they had an open forward line, but they had players back if North actually got a clearance. North won the clearances in the first half dramatically, I think.
Yeah.
From memory. But could not convert. They had equal entry 50s for a lot of the game and just could not convert.
Well, only two goals to halftime. And a lot of that's got to go to Blitzarves as well, who is probably the best matchup in the league for Benny Brown.
Yeah.
And he absolutely towed him up. But he's got a few scalps this year too, Blitzarves.
Yeah.
I didn't like him as a midfielder. And I thought he's an average ruckman who's a tall midfielder. I know he won a best and fairest doing that, but he, I don't know, it just didn't click for me. Goddamn, he's done well as a full back, though.
He has. In Brown's defence, the delivery was a bit shit.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're a full forward. He's leading the Coleman, so he's going to cop that.
Yeah, and you've got to make your own space, don't you? But
also, not having weight there did hurt, because Mason Wood had some very gettable goals in the first quarter. Sprayed them both. But, you know, you go into the quarter time break with two extra goals, suddenly it changes the momentum of the match. So
you got a chance.
But... Yeah. And he's one of those players that we need to be able to rely on. At the moment, he's a bit hit and miss.
No, there was winners all over the ground for Geelong, though.
They were dangerous everywhere.
Just tuning up. Speaking of just tuning up, we'll go to the next game, which is the Giants and the Suns. Do you want to talk about it at all?
Fucking Josh Kelly's pumping his wage up again, the bastard.
Genius. See that goal from the boundary line? Falling over banana ball being tackled. Don't worry about it.
So what do we do with the Suns?
Oh, who would have thought that a team on the Gold Coast would struggle?
Yeah, yeah. They were homeless. I just don't see how they're viable. Because, they got to rebuild with nothing, no foundation to rebuild on. They're going to bleed any good player they get.
Everyone said that Tom Lynch looks disinterested. It's hard to be interested when your team's getting done by 108 points.
This is true.
But every club needs that don't fuck up my club player.
Don't
have one.
Doesn't look like it's him.
No.
No, shit no.
Sam May,
Day.
Sam Day and what is May's first name?
Steve.
Stephen May, thank you. Stephen May seems like that kind of person, but he's out for 8 weeks, so...
Yeah.
And I also think that if if he thought he had a crack at Essendon or something, or you know, another team with a bigger profile, he'd probably take it.
Yeah, like I said, you know, I think Hawthorn are on the third line of betting for Tom Lynch. I'd rather he'd stayed at the Gold Coast because it means they've got something. Yeah. And it's to the point that I think that the AFL should step in, like they did, you know, they got Tony Lockett to Sydney.
Yeah.
And allegedly paid two-thirds of his salary above what was, you know, just to get him there. I would not object. I could certainly see if the AFL went to Gold Coast and say, you pay him 1.5, we'll pay him 1.5. You know, look, under the table, just to keep him there. I can totally see the reason for it.
I still think they need someone else there as a marquee player, though. Like, I think Lynch
probably five people.
Yeah, let's start with one. Yeah. We'll work on there.
But if you could, I mean, if you could draw up your wish list, you'd probably put someone like Franklin there, just because he's a powerhouse.
Yeah, I've got a feeling he's already settled.
Yeah, and he's got four years left.
I think he's in year five now.
And he's looking all right to finish that contract.
Yeah, he's doing okay.
I feel like we could just really use another inner Melbourne suburb team. You know what I mean? It's just not enough. It's around the South Bank or somewhere like that.
Bring back South Melbourne, you reckon?
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. You've already got like that nice little Albert Park area.
Well, imagine if they said Gold Coast is looking at shutting down. We're going to move the license elsewhere.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you get Tasmania pumped up. They're like, fuck yeah, we're going to get Hobart or Launceston or something. And it's like, yep, and we're announcing the Auckland Warriors, ladies and gentlemen, are going to be international. Fuck off!
Or Bendigo.
Bendigo.
Let's go to Bendigo.
I don't know.
I'll tell you what, Bendigo could support a team too.
Well, I feel like with South Melbourne that way, not only getting like another team in inner Melbourne, but we're also fucking Carlton off too, because half their members are going to quit and join South Melbourne.
Well, and you annoy the Suns as well. The Swans, because the AFL is still dirty that Franklin went there instead of GWS.
Yeah. Jeez, imagine if you had gone with GWS, though.
Oh, yeah, they'd be nuts. But
for a start, they'd be a five-goal game better side, because Patton isn't spraying them.
He wouldn't still be there. He would have been poached out of there ages ago.
Yeah, or Cameron. Yeah. They probably lost one of those two.
Probably Patton.
Anyway, there's no need to talk more about the game.
No.
Not that we did at all.
No. Josh Kelly, 40 touches, 2 goals, and that screamer. Like,
yeah, fuck off.
Mate, can you just have a quiet one?
It was a training run.
We're trying to put your price down, fucker.
This shouldn't count, this game. Now, although the Giants do look like they're coming back, I still want to see them against somebody better.
Yeah, this was training cones.
Yeah. All right, on to Saturday. And surprisingly, I've got a lot to say about this game. So I was sitting at home all day Saturday. I was bored out of my head. And I just said, fuck it, I'm going to the footy. And that's what I love about Melbourne. And having an AFL membership. Fuck it, I'm going. Mm-hmm. I'm just swiping. So I got a couple of gripes. And I now hate Swan supporters.
Really? You found some?
There was more Swan supporters than Saints supporters there. You know,
I don't blame him for that.
South Melbourne, Bloods and everything. For starters, you know, we're walking across the bridge past the NAB building on the way to Etihad.
Yep.
The slowest fucking walkers I've ever met.
That's fucking wrong. That should be... I'm not saying they should have snipers on every building, but I'm just saying a couple to take down the worst stragglers and everyone else will figure out what's going on.
I felt like I need a bike lane just to walk. I was zigzagging through just to try. It got to the point where, you know, I'm pissed off so much, I'm seeing how much can I zigzag?
Yeah.
And it was clearly helping. So the slowest walkers. Anyway, by the time I got to the game, you go down into the general admission on the bottom level. Yep. You know, just walk up, the spare seats, go and sit down.
Dodge a few footies.
Now, I have a golden rule when it comes to general admission. So this is non-ticketed seating.
Yep.
Either you're in your seat or it's not your seat.
Yep.
If you lay a scarf down, not your fucking seat.
Yep.
Who lays scarves down in general admission?
Nobody.
Well, Swans fucking supporters do.
Do they? Seriously?
Rows of them.
And they expect you to respect that?
Well, I had decided that I'm not going to piss them off because, you know, fuck it, I don't want to sit near these people anyway.
All right.
I decided I'm going to go sit up in the nosebleeds by myself. I had a row to myself just about.
Like a bloody scout.
I always wondered if you just grab the scarves and fuck off.
And say, hey, wasn't here. Somebody did...
No, just take them.
Did tell... just wear them?
Yeah.
It's mine.
The scarves were here. What scarves? These are mine scarves. You've got a Hawthorn Guernsey on. I'm a mixed metaphor.
I've knitted a jumper out of scarves.
This is my seat. It has my scarf on it.
It was the what do they call it? Gay Pride game. This one as well.
Yep.
So beforehand, they had rainbow streamers going to the crowd. I thought, that's a nice touch. And they had rainbow fireworks as well. And I thought, we haven't learned, have we? What happens when you do fireworks inside a fucking stadium? So the smoke left at about halfway through the second quarter.
Oh, beautiful. So how was that nosebleed? There was seeing nothing from up there.
I swear to God, I don't know if it was somebody around me or if it was the smoke. It smelled like fairy floss. And I thought, if they've done that, because it's gay pride. One, I don't know if that's insensitive or not, but two, geez, you've gone the extra mile.
Next
chance.
Level, that is next level.
I did see some Saints supporter turned up with his waifu.
Yes, his pillow.
Yep.
Interesting.
Look, he's not harming anyone, I guess.
I guess.
And she's a Saints supporter, I suppose.
Well, it's like they say, you know, everyone's welcome, but you're pushing the fucking limit, champ.
And he looked exactly like you think, too.
Of course he did.
He owns several fedoras. I will guarantee it. And has strong feelings on...
He might have put his fedoras down on a few seats just to fucking cunt.
The other thing that lit up the AM band was the idea that they were going to have unisex toilets.
Well, they had signs up that said, use the toilets you identify with or whatever. And I thought, whatever.
I identify with the one with the shortest lineup.
Exactly. But that's the thing. Like,
it was only 27,000, I think. So there was plenty of room.
But the thing for me is like, it's odd. And it's, you know, people are saying, why bother? But... really, does it fucking matter? I mean, for a bloke, you're going in there, have a piss, whatever.
Eyes straight, nothing, you know, off to the side. It was
there's always someone who likes to huddle in the corner, like, real secretive. You're like, what the fuck is that dude hiding?
Yeah,
like,
probably hiding a...
Three cocks.
Keep one eye on him and one eye on your piece.
Got three balls. But the thing is, like, any event you've gone to, whether it's a pub or a club or whatever, there's always women trying to sneak in the men's.
Yeah, because the lineup's there's no lineup.
10 times shorter.
And because they're trashy.
Well, that too. And some of them have been at the Melbourne Cup where they even back up into the urinals. And I'm actually honestly impressed with that shit.
And they're trashy.
Yep. I mean, they've got the heels on and you know.
Heels in their hands.
Oh, yeah. that comes later. But when they're in the urinal, they've got the heels on and reversed in. You know that there's a very good chance that heel is going to fall through that grate.
Oh, you want to see
it. And it's fucking hilarious when it does. But on the flip side, you know, the AM band lights up. Well, you know, would you take your daughter in there? I think... it's pretty fucking common for blokes to take their daughter into the men's toilet because you're there with the daughter. And, you know, what are you going to do? Sorry, honey, just hang out here while dad goes and has a whiz. You know, ignore the shady blokes wandering into the toilet.
I reckon I've seen it every single game I've ever been to.
Exactly. Yep. And the reverse is true too. Like I remember as kids going to the supermarket and shopping centres and whatnot, having to go in the women's with mum because, you know...
it's such a non-issue.
Yeah. I'm like, anyway. Look, it's weird. Fuck it.
What
no
else
got, no one got harmed.
Was interesting from this game is, you know, it's all about inclusion. They decided to have at the ground, you know, they do the announcements and all the, you know, kiss cam and all that shit.
Yep.
They had somebody doing sign language and then captions on the big screen.
Right.
Problem is they're doing wave cam. So the captions were like, have a wave. Yeah, good wave.
Waves intently.
Have a wave. Wave. I'm like, I think they can get the point from this. You don't really need captions.
Do they go the equal opportunity? You know, waves in lesbian.
If only. I didn't actually see many gay people. I saw plenty of people with the flags and all that. But at the end of the day, I'm like, I just wanted to see the footy. I
mean, no one's proud going to watch the Saints, so.
There wasn't much pride on the field, that's all I'm saying.
I would love to see that, actually. Oh, are you a Saints supporter? No, I'm just gay. Is that a membership in your pocket? No, look, I'm just here for the gay factor. I'm not a Saints supporter. I can't tell my parents that, they'll disown me.
9-1 in the first quarter, I think that's all you need to say. Again, don't need to say more about this game, do we? Everyone's pulling out the knives for the Saints now.
Why not?
Well, the Saints are in fucking trouble.
Yeah, they are.
They've got the worst debt of any team. They've got nothing on field that you're really excited to watch, except for Membry, occasionally. The highlight of their week was Billings tearing it up in the VFL.
I reckon it was Richo going down the slide on Monday afternoon dressed as Robbo.
I don't know. My highlight was their not-so-highlight reel that made you question whether that was the halftime kids playing or whether that was legit professional
athlete.
That
was shit. Mungrel kick forward from Savage.
Yep.
Then I think it was Gresham who had a snap from the top of the goal square that landed 5 metres backwards. And then Paddy McCartan that picked it up and had a shot from the top of the goal square that missed 5 metres right.
Yep.
And I thought, when you look at that, I reckon that's when I stood up and left. And it felt like the end of the game because it was still crowded on the bridge going up. Game was still going and it was crowded.
Well, anyway. I think the all inclusion factor with people there that are into sadomasochism and shit and self harm are turning up going, this is too far. I have to get out of here.
I felt like that. I don't leave games early often, but I felt no guilt whatsoever leaving this one. All right.
You know, they're fucked.
Yep. On to the Lions and the Bombers up at the Gabba. The Lions tried, but I think they're just a few players short at the minute.
Yeah, they're a few players short.
Well, they're a coach short now.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I mean, if you would have given them a chance to maybe get up and knock them off, but I thought the performance was sort of indicative of where they really are sitting. Essendon are an up and down team that haven't really put a consistent season together. And Brisbane have been an average team that should be able to pull one or two games out of their butt and step up. This is one I thought they could have, but conversion was just not really there.
Well, I mean, best on ground for the Lions was their fullback.
Yeah.
And I think that says where how you
Andrews. Andrews. He's a quality player.
Yeah.
He could be in all Australian discussions.
I'd say so.
I reckon squad, maybe not team, but yeah.
Well, mind you, he's got ample opportunity to succeed.
the ball's down there a lot.
Yeah.
Christensen lined up again, which was surprising. I thought he was dead.
Well, yeah, he did have a little nap last week.
But speaking of killing someone, Hodge.
I tell you what, I saw nobody saying that he should go for weeks. Everyone looked at him and went, yep, you done fucked up there, Heppel.
Yeah, what the hell was he thinking?
What was he doing? It was a bloke not ready for contact at all. No,
and not understanding the physics of momentum and force.
And protect yourself at all times.
Newton's laws, full stop.
Protect yourself, yes.
Like I said last week, safety third. Look after yourself first, because there is no rule that will stop someone getting concussed once they're about to get hit.
It's just like a kangaroo when you're driving through the country road at night. Like, as soon as he gets in the headlights, it stops. It goes, fuck it.
Uh-oh.
I reckon I'm good.
I 100% agree. He does not deserve a mention for this.
No.
That was just a hard hit, and that's footy.
Yep. That's the way it goes. Heppel had a night for it.
It's going to be on the highlight reel that we show international people to get an idea of our game. Yeah. this shit, okay.
And they're like, he done got fucked up.
The Bombers were just happy to think they'd come away with the points. Not a pretty game by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
Skipping through a few games today. Not that much to talk about with them.
It's not all doom and gloom for Brisbane, though, because I think, you know, they showed a little bit here.
Yeah.
And they've been showing a little bit for a long time. But, you know, I think they're improving.
They're on the right track. On to the Dockers and the Crows. Dockers without Fife, without Sanderlands, and put in a great effort.
Yeah.
Who the fuck tipped this?
I did.
You're full of shit.
Yeah, I tipped Freo at home. Which I think I didn't, actually. I'm telling absolute lies. I wanted to, but I thought better of it.
Was the inclusion of Miles Pohlhoek, Pohlhoekie, that...
Pohlhoekie, he's had a good year.
Yeah, was he the one that tipped you off?
It was actually, I thought, Fife out. The Crows have got to bounce back, don't they? But they didn't. And they got another injury out of it as well.
That's a win-win for everyone.
Well, you got to say, though, a lot of youngsters flew the flag for Frio. Cox, for starters, got the rising star nod.
Yep.
And they had another lad in his second or third game whose name I've just gone. God damn it. Sarah, who played a blinder. He had 30 touches and looked threatening every time he touched the ball.
But on the flip, you've got Eddie King 2-6 and Walker King 1-2.
Hey, 2-6 and you lose by 3 points.
Yeah. Yep.
Says something.
Yep. And he's a champion player, don't get me wrong, but 2-6.
It's a lot.
There's not much this season either. I mean, he's bound to fall off and we're not going to write him off yet. But
no. But
it's just with games and needing to step up.
I think he's still got career time left, absolutely. But if you're kicking 2-6, maybe set a couple up. Yeah. I'm just saying, those bananas from the pocket that have been his bread and butter, no. Yeah. No. Sometimes you have to know when your weapon's blunt, you've got to sharpen it up later.
Well, sometimes I remember
he's kicked, not his knee.
a basketballer back from Broken Hill, and Brenton, you'll know who I'm talking about. If he misses his first 10 shots, it's just, well, I'm warming up.
Yeah. You
know? He'll shoot himself into form, don't worry about it. I think Eddie Betts is a bit like that.
Yeah.
You can hit him eventually.
Sometimes you can pass your way into form too.
Hey, I've seen Buddy Franklin kick 2 goals 11.
Yeah, you know? This is true.
Come out the next week and kick a few more. You've got to rely on Eddie to know to do what's best. But you know,
he didn't.
He clearly didn't in this game, especially you know in the last quarter where they're fighting back and they kicked 2 goals. What's that? 2 goals 5.
Yeah.
It's a struggle to win.
Yeah. Adelaide are a game and a half outside the eight now, which you wouldn't expect them to be at any point of the season.
Well, three of those two goals, five snaps, three of those points were Eddie's.
Yeah, there you go. So that's disappointing for the Crows. You really do feel that their season's done and dusted now. I think I said last week, I've written them off for a premiership. Now they're struggling to make finals.
Yeah.
And injuries again.
I can still see them making the eight. I'm not sure who's going to drop out.
Yeah.
They can't drop off that bad. I'd fucking love it if they did, but...
their injuries are terrible.
Yeah.
And I think they kid themselves a little bit.
I think they're still carrying some.
Yeah, well, they played...
Just the fact they lie their ass off about injuries.
Yeah, and I mean, they played Sloan in round four and he hasn't played since. And they said, no, it's a little niggle, you know.
Yeah.
3 month niggle, mate.
Well, is it a niggle with his writing hand that he just hasn't signed?
And well, speaking of which, they've had more trouble reported today in The Age that Mitch McGovern wants home to Victoria.
Ooh.
And so does Jez McGovern, apparently.
Apparently. But the thing with Mitch was he signed a 3-year contract last year.
Yeah.
And he signed for under what he wanted. Because they said, we don't have any room left in the salary cap. He went, okay, I'll sign then. Then they signed Bryce Gibbs for more than what he asked for. And he went, hang on a minute.
How about you get fucked?
Now this is...
Hang on, 3, 4, 2, carrot. That's more than me.
Now, obviously, I don't know if it's true or not, but if it is, you can understand he's a little bit pissed.
Yep.
I would be.
But he's still got a year or two.
As I said, he signed a 3-year contract last year.
Yeah, so he's still got, 3 years. Or two at the end of this season.
Correct, yeah.
So they have to trade for him.
Exactly. So it means they'll get something.
Oh, yeah. It's always easy dealing with Adelaide at the trade table. It's a no-brainer.
But who are Adelaide going to chase? Like, if you're Adelaide, you only really want marquee players.
They're only taking him for LeBron. That's it. With free agents, you know.
Oh, but I mean, any player they'd accept, he's not worth that.
Oh, you get a first round for him, without a doubt. You get a first round pick for Mitch, I think. And maybe a first round plus a top-up player.
So he's going to St Kilda. I think they got all the first round picks in the next draft.
Hey, look, St Kilda are probably... That'd probably be a good call for them because they need people that can play. But I don't think he's worth that. Like, I can understand Adelaide would only accept that because they hold all the cards. But if I'm a top eight team, I'm not paying it.
Well, let's
bottom eight team, I need more.
Let's say you're North Melbourne and you got pick 12 and they say, we want a first round pick. You say, I got pick 12. Pick 12 for Mitch McGovern. I tell you what, if I was North, I'd take it. If I was Adelaide, I wouldn't. That's why I go with it. The kid's young. He's got some spring in those legs.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll move on to the highlight of the round by far was the Monday game. The lead up to it, obviously everyone's talked about the slides. I was sitting watching it with the old man. I couldn't believe how transfixed we were by a half an hour of middle-aged men going down a slipping slide.
Oh, and I think they just need to really step up their game with a slide. What a piss-weak slide.
It's a small slide.
It needs to be going from tier one down to the ground floor.
Yeah.
Make it worth it.
A 20-foot slide.
No, yeah. From the coach's box.
I want to show how scary motor neuron disease really is.
A corkscrew.
I want to see a rail slide. I want to see the coaches get up on their back, slide around that motherfucker.
I am now more interested in it than I ever was
before. Yeah, you've got this great structure there you can really fuck around with. Like, let's go for it.
And look, there's many Australian companies that need exposure. I think if you're a company that makes fiberglass or make slides, this is your chance. Sponsor that motherfucker, get level 3, loop it down through level 2, go through the MCC just to shit them off. And you know, make it end in the golf square in a big pool. But look, only you can make this happen, Clark Rubber or whoever the fuck else makes that sort of shit. So get on it. You know, it'd be un-Australian not to. And look, let's just, Neil Danaher doesn't have a lot of time left, so get a fucking move.
He's
on.
First. Send him down.
Yeah, send
him. Hey, this will be going for, I think it's been going for 4 years. He hasn't gone down the slide once.
He's due.
Terrible.
He's due.
It's a pyramid scheme. Fucking bullshit.
So Neil's going to fly down that motherfucker. We'll put him on a mat. Just, you know, we don't want.
Put those black and red, black and gold circles on the side of his head.
Like a crash test dummy.
You evil motherfucker.
Use those boards with the stripes next to it so you can calculate the speed exactly.
I reckon,
like episode of Mythbusters.
And then a rubber wall at the end. I reckon he would find that hilarious.
So, you know, there's been all the talk about the AFL culture and the product. We've just fucking solved it. That is going international. Yeah,
they had 18 men go down the slide this year. One man next year doing that.
Yep.
Already the best ever.
Done. Shit, we should get to the guys trying to sponsor it.
Clark Rubber, this is in your hands. Get on it. And Jim's fiberglass. Fucking make it happen. Yep.
Jim's fiberglass.
I'm assuming
Jim's collapsible wall. The collapsible wall sponsored by the CFMEU.
Jim's death traps and insurance.
I think this could work. I think we're on it here. Look, I don't know if Jim's fiberglass is the thing. I'm pretty sure it's not. But, oh, mate, Jim, you've done every other fucking franchise. I'll tell you, I'll lead this one for you.
What way to get your name out?
Yeah. I'll lead and design this fucker. I have no engineering skills, but fuck it. If it fucks up, it's even funnier.
I'd say as well, this slide, I reckon more people watched it than the entire AFLX series. So clearly, that's what they should do in the off-season. It's just slides. More playground equipment they need.
Well, it's Aussie as fuck. A homemade slip and slide. What can be more Australian than that?
Out of the slide, who is your best and fairest?
Fagan.
I think it's got to be Fags.
It's got to be Fagan, yeah.
The fact that he pulled his hamstring off the fucking bone.
Up the stairs, yeah.
Like it's hardcore.
You see, and he got up and said, I think I pulled it off the bone.
Yeah.
And he was fucking right.
Straight away.
So he's already better than Doc Larkin too.
Old mate BT in this game had Wells out for an ankle. He had him out for a knee. He had him out for a hand. It was fucking everything.
Love the speculations.
To be fair, you can throw a lot out there and it might be all of the above.
Well,
for Wells?
No, with Wells, you start with he's injured. That's a given. Yeah. And then you just got to figure out, is it a playing injury or a not playing injury?
Yeah.
Now, this is the closest to the line you've ever seen. And now he's not playing. He's off to surgery.
Yeah, I feel bad. I'd never wish that on that bloke. There's people that leave your team you wish would get injured. He's not one of them.
However, you like that Collingwood have signed him for another 2 years. So there's that upside to it.
So the upside is that his retirement is getting paid for and he's not going to have to earn it.
On the actual game itself, it was an absolute cracker from Collingwood. Even though their inaccuracy kept Melbourne in the game early, but they had winners all over the ground. I thought Sidebottom was probably their sixth best player. That's how good they go. He didn't play badly.
Yeah.
It's just others were brilliant.
Well, I think last week we said you're buying Dugowie based on four good games. Well, it's five now.
God damn. If I'm looking at free agents coming around now, he's on top of my list. I'd rather him than Tom Lynch.
Yeah. He's got numbers in front of him. You can guarantee it from at least five teams.
And this is one of the best games I've seen Collingwood put together, because they obviously, you're going up against Max Gorn on the ruck and midfield that's not too shabby. And they dominated the centre bounces and the clearances. And what was better was going in the forward line, the people that were stick marks.
Oh, Mason Cox.
Mason Cox, yeah.
He nearly took mark of the year, but got a free kick for a push in the back from Geordie Lewis for it.
Yeah, and what did you end up kicking? Five goals, one or something
I think
that?
He kicked six.
Six? He got a few bags in this game, actually.
Yeah, he got six. McDonald got six. He got five.
Yeah.
He has a textbook style, though.
I said in round one, when I was watching warm up, he was dobbing him from 50 without a problem. Drop punts going through half goal post height. And so I said, oh, he's in for a good year. Took him another month to get into it, but now he's having a good year.
Yeah. Obviously, there's a lot of hard work going off the field to pick up their skills and, really, flying the flag for the imports at the moment. Also, the young kids from Collingwood, Hosson Elliott and Stevenson, the ones that have been really the lifeblood of putting that sort of beef around what was a skeleton team.
Stevenson and Duday from Adelaide. It's a two-horse race for the NAB Rising Star.
Yeah.
At the moment I think it's Duday, but Stevenson, he could get there. He's got everything he can do.
Yeah, he's racking up the highlights too.
Nice goal of the week he'll get.
For this match, it was Gorn versus Grundy, which got me going. Grundy had it.
Yeah, I think so. I think Grundy beat him, but it wasn't easy.
No, I think Grundy was far more influential, had more taps, and I think it was 10-9 disposals and Gorn's favour, but Grundy had a lot more tackles.
Yeah, and Grundy took some nice marks. I also think that there weren't as many free kicks in the ruck contest in this game because they both held each other at every single ruck contest. Sometimes you watch it, I'm like, you're not even trying to hide it.
Yeah.
Like, he's holding me, I'm holding him. Hey, let's go.
Yeah, no, the umps let it happen, and I'm okay with that.
Maybe that's what they should do, to clean up and say, guys, holding's legal. Just go for it in the ruck contest. Let's just see what happens. No more free kicks.
I want to see a Darce choke.
There's somebody I thought we were going to see one in this game. It was a front-on, ended up getting high contact. I can't remember who it was, but anyway, I thought it was a great chance for a Darce there. Collingwood, 130 points against the side that was third on the ladder.
Yeah.
That's impressive. And I do like how fickle the media can be. And like, well, Melbourne, they could be a premiership chance. And now Collingwood could be a premiership. Yep. But they're 100% playing finals, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. And their run home is not too bad either. I can see in the next week or so, Buckley signing a 10-year contract?
I think the next three games are like Carlton, Brisbane and Essendon. Not Brisbane, it might be Carlton, St Kilda and Essendon, but it's three easy games.
Yep.
Until they get back into the hard stuff. So it's all ahead of them.
Well, you put them down for probably 12 wins. I mean, they're sitting on what, seven now?
Seven. So that gets them to 10 with seven games left. Laughing.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And there's some big teams going to miss out as well, and they're going to find it harder and harder because the wins that you would have penciled them in for at the start of the season aren't that easy anymore.
No, no. Teams have changed.
Actually, they've got eight wins, so they need four more.
Well, there you go. Hawthorn beat them in round one. I'm glad we played them then.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, rather than now. All right, well, let's look forward to round 13 then, which all starts on Thursday nights. I'm back on the Thursday night bandwagon. Yep. It's coming Thursday nights. So I'm looking for footy now, so yeah. I'm glad it's back. Port are hosting the Bulldogs. Bulldogs coming off a bye is probably the only thing that'll give them any hope.
I still look at the matchups and every position where they're doing well. I think Port are slightly better.
Yeah, Port have got a decent ruckman and a big full forward. Both those trouble the Dogs. Yeah,
and even the Bonts, their best player, I'd still take Sammy Gray at the moment.
Robbie Gray.
Yep.
Yeah. I would.
Sammy Gray, he's had some good runs.
Yeah.
Or Ollie Wines.
I would take the Bont over Sam Gray. But yeah, I don't think anybody would argue with that.
Yeah.
Port, easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Port.
Yeah.
Friday night, easily match of the round.
The
Swans and the Eagles. This could be a grand final preview too, by the way.
I'm on the Swans here.
SCG.
Ooh. You know what? The funny thing is, Swans have got a worse record at the SCG than anywhere else.
No, I'm on the Swans. I think just because of the Buddy factor, and Buddy v Kennedy is always fun as a shootout.
Yeah.
But I think the Swans have got a slightly better back line to try and run it out.
Slightly. Interesting. Yeah, they've got a lot of run out of their back line. No Jack Darling is going to hurt, I think.
Not a lot of space to run on the SCG as well. So
no, but they need to get it for him. Only need to get it to centre, and then Buddy will kick it from there anyway.
Just about. Lot of options going forward for the Swans, like you say. If it's not Buddy, then Heaney's got a leap on him that you wouldn't believe. Parker's crazy. Playing more forward than he ever has.
Yep.
And then you've got Ronk or Papley that are sneaking around.
The other Kennedy.
And Reed could be back soon as well.
Yeah.
So you never know. Yeah, I think the Swans too, which will mean they'll be 2-0 against the Eagles this year.
Yeah, I think the Swans will get over the line. I think it's going to be close. But yeah, I think the Swans maybe just going to have a little bit more composed in this matchup.
Yeah, weird part for me is Swans are starting favourites.
Wow, it's at home, isn't it?
Yeah. But Eagles are still, they've been looking damn good.
And then the Eagles had a week off, and it's yet to be proven if that's good or bad yet.
Like I say, without Darling, I think their attack is severely blunted. I mean, he's their leading goal kicker.
Yeah.
So straight away, you've got to say that.
It takes away a big option. Yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah. So that's three Swans there.
Yep.
Carlton and Frio at Etihad Stadium. Oh, geez.
God.
I really want an excuse to tip Carlton. Because without, if Freo had a lost, I would tip Carlton. But they won they beat a better side without Sandilands and Fife.
Well, Carlton going to pop up for another win somewhere.
That's what I thought too.
Year. I don't know if it's this week though, because Fife will be back, but Walter's out. So I think Fife could just about win this off his own boot.
Yeah. I think Freo win. Probably a game I'm not going to watch.
Yeah,
I'll watch to see Fife put on a clinic because. A phenomenal fucking player.
You get a feeling,
play tall, play short, play fast, play loose, whatever.
It wouldn't be surprising if they put Cripps on Fife and just say, all right, let's go.
I'm bored, so I want to see something happen.
you two, see who can get the most kicks out in the wings.
Yeah, but I'm going for Fife.
Yep, Fife to win?
Yeah.
Yep.
Is he the LeBron of Fremantle?
I think the rest of Fremantle is the Cavaliers to LeBron.
but not the worst game of the round.
Yeah.
Worst game of the round, Gold Coast v St Kilda at Metricon.
Yeah.
I don't know how to tip this.
No.
I think whoever you tip, no one's going to care.
Is 50 points a winning score?
Yeah.
I don't know. What's this? Lowest crowd for the season. I reckon this is going to be
It's going to go close.
Got to be.
See, I'm still on the Suns just because I feel like they might... They might be able to make the match. They might turn up.
They might bother.
Yeah, because it's just down the road for them. Whereas St Kilda, I think It might be like Sierra Leone coming for the Commonwealth Games.
They might just stay.
They'll stay and hide out.
I think that these are the two clubs that have been absolutely knifed in the media all week for various reasons. Probably all deserved as well.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go the Saints. Actually, I don't know.
I think the Suns will win by 10 goals if St Kilda go down on the Friday morning. Because I think Gold Coast can handle a Gold Coast Friday night much better than St Kilda can.
I think you're right there. I think that's true.
If Asada's around the place too, we could see a nil-all draw. No one's going to take the field.
Somebody on Reddit, who I'm afraid I've forgotten their name, pointed out that if the Saints win all four quarters, then it'll be a record that the Gold Coast Suns have lost more quarters in a row than any team ever.
Really?
The record is currently owned by St Kilda starting from 1897.
Ouch.
So if Saints can give away that record if they win each quarter in this one.
Let's put me over on the Suns.
Yeah. You're going to say they've got to fuck that up.
They can't handle that sort of pressure.
Yeah. Friday night at the MCG, Hawthorn Adelaide.
This one fucks me up.
Becomes an interesting game, doesn't it?
It's God at the G. Adelaide have been woeful. Everyone's walking injured, but...
And they lost another backman in this one, in Brown. coming back from Fremantle last week, which everyone knows that surface is concrete, apparently.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of reasons to tip Hawthorn.
Is this 351 for...
No, 350.
350. It is 350.
For Burgoyne. Yeah. Which I got a feeling he played his 300th against Adelaide.
Sure.
I'm nearly certain of it at the MCG on a Saturday night.
Maybe he got the choice, and just being a former Port player, he's like,
fuck them.
I'm actually leaning a very hard towards Hawks because I think they have plenty to worry Adelaide, and Adelaide looks like they're still at half strength.
They are. I mean, their midfield sitting up in the stands is almost better than their midfield out on the ground.
Yep.
Mm. And if Eddie and Tex are inaccurate...
Well, I think that we usually play well against Eddie Betts because we put Ben Stratton on him.
Yeah.
And Stratton's just that cagey motherfucker that I'm going to beat you.
Yep.
That's all I'm going to do. I'm going
to
beat you.
It's supposed to be a wet day as well on Saturday. Obviously, MCG is going to be no cover, so I think it's going to play into... Hawks' hands, because you take out the tall people, the Crows, who can actually have a bit of impact.
Yeah.
See, this would be game of the round if they could mic up Tex and Sicily if they play on each other.
Oh, that'd be brilliant.
It'd be spectacular.
Who's going to win that banter? I've got a feeling Sis has got him. Because Tex will give it, but he's not all that clever with it.
Yeah.
Well, I think Sis would have the bigger vocabulary. And I say that having never heard Sicily talk,
but I've heard Tex talk. Heard him talk many times, yeah. I tell you what, they've both got a big boot on them too. I'm going to give that to Tex. I think he's got the slightly longer kick.
Yeah.
But it's the Bants. AFL, mic them both up. Like, I know you've done it before with Hodge and other players. This will be a game for all time if you can mic them both up.
Interesting week too that Cyril Rioli's had another indefinite leave to go back home to Darwin.
Yeah.
This is one of the times where I actually ventured into the Facebook comments on it.
Ooh.
Every single comment was the same. Mate, family's more important. Forget footy. You've done enough.
I think we're on different websites.
Yeah, well, I went to the Hawthorn page.
Yeah, no, that's very different than AFL memes and banter.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, it clearly is. Right. But almost every single one was, if you want to retire, go for it, mate. You've done enough.
Almost every single page is better than AFL.
Especially the content-stealing motherfuckers. But anyway.
Weebo is better than...
I'm tipping the Hawks too. Ben, who you got?
Yeah, I think the Hawks get over the line just because of the weather. I think that's really going to be the one that pulls that victory out of Adelaide's grasp.
And the final game is the only game on Sunday, I see. The Cats and the Tigers. So in this round, we've got first versus third and second versus fourth. That's almost first week of the finals.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Could very well be like this.
Geelong are absolutely flying at the minute. Dusty is back in town.
Yep.
Is he?
Yeah, he's back in town. Doesn't mean he's playing this game, but one assumes he is if he's back in town.
Yep, and with the wet weather continuing, I think we'll probably just outlast Geelong. I think it's going to be a scrappy game, low scoring, constant pressure throughout the whole match. I think we'll get over in the end.
I think the wet weather does favour the Tigers as well, especially the way they play, because it might slow down the big three in the middle as well. Yeah. Danger doesn't like the wet, I don't think.
I think if it's wet, there's going to be injuries. It's going to be a slog, and it's going to be hard bodies hitting each other hard because they can't get out of the way. And it's going to be great to watch.
I think so. And the Tigers got to bounce back, obviously.
Yep.
The Cats are absolutely flying, like we said. But, God, it's a hard one to pick.
Yep, a few of these rounds.
So who you got?
No, I'm on Tigers.
You're on Tigers?
Yep.
Yeah, Ben, you're obviously going for the Tigers as well. Yep. I think I'm going to tip the Cats because I just think their midfield's getting up. But, yeah, the rain worries me for them.
Yep.
I think the Tigers like the rain more than them. All right, so that'll do us around 13.
Yep.
Away we go.
Peace.
Good luck.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.